Many years ago, a friend of mine from the college, a friend of mine from the college, shared with us his story. He said, to us that there was a time when a group of theological students were asked to write an essay on how to help a beggar. So they were asked to write really what they think about going about helping a beggar. And he shared with us how a particular student, he finished his assignment, and actually he was running late to submit his assignment. So what happened was, like, as he was rushing to the college, there was a beggar on the street. And so he pushed him aside, and so he was going to submit his assignment. And so did he pass his assignment or not? You see? So I'm saying this because today we are going to talk about repentance. I think it will not be very good if we talk about repentance and we don't repent. It would be like trying to write an essay on how to help a beggar, and actually you push them aside and harm them instead of doing good to them. So it's a text that I approach with really rather hearts of that is heavy. It's not a very uplifting message, unfortunately. But having said that, what did Susan share with us? She said there is much rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who repents than 99 who do not need repentance. And so even though is a hard subject, and yet all the blessings that we can ever receive from God, they lies with this word, this one particular word. This should be one of the best Christian doctrines ever. We should be holding closer to our hearts. And if you have not really taken this subject seriously, closely, to be one of your favorite doctrines in your Christian faith, I'm really sorry to say that you have missed the whole point of being a Christian. You have missed it altogether. And there is nothing of Christ I can say with confidence that is in you. Because the Christian life begins all with repentance. The acknowledgement of your need of God and your hopelessness and helplessness and nothingness. So that you can become something. So you can become a royal diadem in God's hand. So you can become a child of the Most High God. So that you can become a carer of the light. You can become the salt on earth. You can become a helper. You can become even a Kids Hope mentor. If you have learned the ways of repentance, this is the only way where you can get rid of all the dirt that the world brings on us, even the self, even Satan and sin. That is the dry clean cleaner, if you say. We take our clothes to dry cleaner to be clean. So for us, in order to be clean every day before our God, we need to repent of our sins. The sins that we are aware of, the sins that even we are not aware of. We are not to entertain even for a second the fact that we are right with God. We shouldn't do that. The moment we think like that, and then we are running the risk of falling away from Him. You remember the two people in the temple who were praying? Oh, I did this and I did this. I'm not like this sinner. And guess what? This guy said, "Forgive me, have mercy on me." Even he would not even dare to look up. "I'm a sinner." And Jesus said he was justified. He went more free than others. So, just to get into this text, you must have heard of this saying. We say first thing first. I don't understand this really fully sometimes. Even I don't take time really to think about it a lot. People can say things that really there are a lot of things they fill the air with. Yeah, you see, but there is truth in that because all truth belongs to God. So I suspect that the origin with this phenomena is not human. We read in the Bible how first things must be first. So now I'm giving it really a careful thought, isn't it? Yeah. Even though we just say it and we don't really pay attention to it. So we read in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God delights in the beginning of things. Jesus said, in order to enter into the kingdom of God, you must first repent. That is Matthew 4:17. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Not only that, in order to receive blessing from God, Jesus said you should first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So first thing first. So this is really a biblical phenomenon. It's not ours. Even rich young ruler, when he asked Jesus, what shall I do in Luke 18? What shall I do to enter, to inherit the kingdom of God? And so he was told, oh, don't murder, don't keep the commandments. And he said, oh, I've learned them. But he was lacking. Jesus said, well, first thing, in order to come, you need to go and sell all your possessions. You see, first go. So first things come first. But in our times today, and it's not only in our times, even going back to Jesus' time, first things was not first, unfortunately. And that is what we experience even in our days today. Now, in order to have children, you need to find a wife or a lady to find a husband. But now they can bypass that. They can have children just without that process. Even some people who want to become Christian without repenting, without coming to Jesus. That is why you see a lot of religions around us. Because first things didn't come first. And if I want to pay close attention to the text and in Luke 13, 1 to 5, these are the verses I'm going to focus on. It says, now there were some presents at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Some present at that time. You see? At that time. And you know, this is not the first time for us to come across this word time. Jesus said earlier in chapter 12 that those people in their times, they were unable to understand Jesus' time. They were familiar with their weather. And Jesus said, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it is going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? You see, they don't know how to interpret the present times. And now those who were there at that time, they carry that with them. They came and they reported to Jesus that there were people who supposedly were coming to do what is right, coming to offer sacrifices and to worship God. And yet, Pilate got into the mood of murdering because he's a murderer. He murdered the kids, 2 years old, many of them. He killed many people. And actually, when it says that their blood was mixed with the blood of their sacrifices, that means, there were blood running everywhere. And so to the point that you can't separate whether these are the bloods of those Galileans who were coming to worship or not. You see? And now these people, they were thinking that these people were really sinners. They were the worst sinners because they suffered in that way. And Jesus says in his way, when he says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? That is their thinking. They thought because these people have died this way, they were worse sinners. And now God is paying them back for what they did. Why this thinking was dangerous? And Jesus also said earlier, when he said, like, do you think that, what did he say last time when we talked? Can you remember what we talked about last time? 49 to verse 51, chapter 12. Can anyone remember what Jesus said? He said, Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? There was something always wrong about our thinking. And Jesus actually is saving us from that attitude. He wants us to have his thinking because he is the Lord. He knows everything. He wants to give us the best recipe how to have a relationship with the living God and how to live a true life of the children of God. And now Jesus said, don't think that way. Do you think? And of course, the construction is the question invites only answer. No, isn't it? Not yes. Like last time. He said, no, no, no. And you have heard that I said there is blessing in the no. And Jesus followed in this way as a teacher. This is his way. He said, no. These people were not the worst sinners, but they all, but unless you repent, you too will all, no exception, will all. Because now it's not so much about what these people have done that they die in this way. Death has come already into the world. People are dying today, you know. Christian are dying, non-Christian are dying. Death is there. But Jesus is saying, definitely there is death. There is eternal death. Those who will not repent, even if they think they are living now and not dying, they will die. But their death is terrible. They die for eternity. And Jesus says, all. There is emphasis here on all. The Bible says all in Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. No single person who does not need repentance. All have sinned. That is the first things that we need to think about to do. The first things here Jesus says is to repent. Is to repent. Because if we do not repent, if we don't repent, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We cannot live. No matter how hard we try, we can't. And also we cannot even live as his people if we don't go on repenting. Because if we live in sin, that really say a lot whether we truly have come to know Jesus or not. So Jesus tells his hearers that unless you repent, you need to do this first so that the other thing can happen. And the thinking here we have in our days is that we can change the orders of things. And we would want to do other things before we could actually get to the bottom of things. I tell you a few stories. Yesterday I was with a guy. He has been struggling with the addictions. And he has been associated with a lot of Christians. And many people have asked me if we could help him. We tried to help him. And we are unable. Yesterday he urged me to pray for him. And when he was urging me to pray through the night. And then I said to him, look, I think this time is you who needs to do the prayer. And he said, well, I can't pray. I can't do that. I tried and I'm zero. And I said, well, this is very good. So when you are zero, that means really you can cry out to God. And I said to him, does that hurt you so much that you are addicted and he lost his family? I said to him, when you begin to feel the pain of what you are going through, when you begin to feel that you are destroying the temple of God, you will be truly repenting. But unfortunately, in our days today, that is the case for all of us. We don't repent because we don't feel the pain of rejecting God. The pain of disobeying God. The pain of living with our own ideas independently. Just wait only to hear Jesus saying, do you think? Do you think? So there is something wrong with the way we think, especially when it is far away from the words of Jesus. So Jesus is calling us to consider how we live so that we don't think our own things. We don't make our own constitutions on how to live or resolutions. Unless we live in this way, unless we live in this lifestyle of repenting and considering our ways before the Lord, we cannot enter into the next stage. Most of the time we want our next assignments when we do things, but sometimes it doesn't work like that. Perhaps we need to do first things first. Perhaps we need to do a bit of searching. Perhaps we need to do a bit of thinking, whether we are thinking our own things or we are listening to Jesus. And Jesus now, he challenged their thinking and he told them that don't think that way, because the spirit of the time was just heavily upon them. How about you? How about I today? How many ideas that we face in this world in which we live today on how to live and how to bring up your children and how to save your money and what car to ride and what home to live in without hearing Jesus? Do you think living in this way will earn you God's grace, will make you a strong believer, will make you the person Christ wants to be in such a time as this? Unless you repent, you too will all perish. There shouldn't be any entertainment of any sin of any kind. And there was also another group, people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. The tower was just above a big swimming pool. And many people have said that perhaps the Roman Empire, they put it there just like to improve the water supply. And then suddenly just that fell on the pool and 18 people perished. And according to the thinking of that time, so these people must have committed worse sin for them to die in this way. Even in our day-to-day also, we do interpret things this way. We think, oh, this person is going through all these things because perhaps he might have sinned against the Lord. See? Even yourself also, you may want to think about yourself this way. And Jesus is saying, oh, no, no, hang on a minute. Because also we will need to discern when actually we are going through things, hard things, not because we have sinned, just because we are stubborn to follow the Lord. So the spiritual warfare, isn't it? Well, a few days ago, I took my car to be washed because it was just so tough. I haven't washed it for so long, and it's not nice. I had some friends got on it, and I was embarrassed a little bit. John Neal, my friend, I said to him, look, my wife advised me not to take people in the car. And then as I took it to be washed, and then it turned out the engine, like really something went wrong. And so for the last 3 days, we are without a car. So, and I was coming to the training on Saturday morning. I was going to attend. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend Josh Grant's engagement party. I was going to go for a party. And also, I was going to visit Nyarot's husband, Peter, which I did. When I dropped the car, I walked like 30 minutes to Danno Hospital. I was doing that, walking around and so forth. So I was repenting on the way. But I was also aware that there is a spiritual warfare. So you need to discern when really the devil is just angry with you just because you are doing what is right. But most of the time, we are called to repent and to search, to look into our hearts, and to see if there is any residing sin in us. So we need to repent. And Jesus is calling us not to rely on our thinking. And Jesus said, not the Galileans whose blood was mixed with the blood of their sacrifices, nor those people in Jerusalem who had this tower fell on them were worse sinners more than all of us. Jesus is saying, my people will always be looking to me for answers. My people will only listen to what I think, not what they think. It is so dangerous for a Christian to rely heavily on his own thoughts. When was the last time you repented of something? So that there is a great rejoicing in heavens. I tell you one more story. If I remember another one, I tell it to you. Many years ago, not many, in 2014, I went through a tough time, so people were just like accusing me of all things and bad things, and I was just like struggling, and then I decided really to be angry and to do nothing, to have nothing to do with these people. I was really deeply hurt. It was just so terrible. I felt so bad, and I was just like getting angry, and even I wouldn't say hello to these people. If they pass by, I'm cool. I just feel like there's nobody around me. Totally out of place. And then one day, they decided to have a meeting, and they invited me to come, and then they started to accuse me that I have done this and this and this and this. I invited a close friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, a Christian man. He came. We came together. So I asked my family to to allow him to come in. I thank God that they allowed him to come. They trust him so much. And actually, they were saying to me that you do have really a good friend. And so as the accusation were coming and coming and coming, I was just sitting there. And then my friend was listening carefully. And then after that, he turned to me and he said, oh, I didn't know this. And he said to me, you are wrong. You are a believer. You are... He uses this term, a man of God. I don't know what does that mean? You're a man of God. You shouldn't be doing something like that. And as I was faced with that, and I said, okay, I am wrong. I need to pray. My brother who came from America was there with his new wife. He nearly got married during that time. And I prayed. And I repented of my sin. And I asked forgiveness from the Lord. And I prayed even for those who have wronged me. Full stop. And we finished. And then after that, I was driving from Frankston with this brother of mine and his wife, new wife. They were sitting at the back, you know, like the new couples, you know, married. And I was their driver. And my brother, who is really self-righteous, who does not go to church every Sunday, but he could see a lot of cracks in the lives of the Christian people. And even at some point, he said to me, there's lack of faith that I could see a lot even in the family. He was able to do, of course, he got his own things. But he was able to speak up. But he said to me, Lam, when you prayed that prayer, that was from your heart. How did he know that? And the people I prayed for, that I asked God for forgiveness, they knew once and for all that I have repented of my sins and there was a great peace between me and them. They have never accused me of anything again after that time. If I meet them, I say hello to them and they say hello to me. And I have no grudges and no sense of anything. That is what repentance can do. Today, let us not be like that student who was called to write an essay on how to help a beggar. But actually, to succeed in our essay by having this view in mind, that we need to repent continually. Bishop Riles, a man that we have quoted most of the time, he said of a saint who once said, "I hope to carry my repentance to the gate of heaven." So we need to be aware all the time. When matters arise between us and people, not to think first that the other person might be wrong. Have the 99% think about yourself. In that way, you will be able to think what Jesus thinks. And you will be able to receive all that Christ desires for you. If you have this humility and willingness to be wanting to be repenting of your sins continually, you will stand when all are falling. For all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. And it is only when we repent, because Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all perish. Many of our troubles today in the Christian church is this lack of repentance. Even I could recall last time I was praying here, it took me by surprise that when I was praying and I was struggling in prayer, and when I started to pray that, oh Lord, I know our hearts are hard, I started to sense that I was praying. Because Jesus delights in us repenting. Do you think? I hope you don't think the way the people at Jesus' times think. Let us understand the times of Jesus. The times of Jesus are different. The ways to blessings begins with repentance. And the first things first, repentance, 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 and nothing else. That can help us come into true enjoyments of God's blessings. We need to look around. We need to see the ways we are running our monies, the ways we are relating to other people. Are we cool? Are we having attitudes? So we are easily led into having attitudes towards people. And all of us, we can come under that. We can think that we are better than others, even the worst sinners. You see, we are not to think that we are better than them. We are to think, to look inward right now. So we are to get into that mood of repentance. And it is a work of the Holy Spirit. The other day I was speaking, and to finish with Peter Barclay, a retired minister in our church, when I was attending the Safe Church training. I said to him, "Peter, I just can't believe it. I can't believe it. People are not really repenting." He said, he got a way of speaking. He said, "Well, I think repentance comes as the Holy Spirit works." Yeah, as the Holy Spirit works, so a person will be shown his own sin. And they cannot avoid really facing Christ and repenting of it. And that is why we should get into really inviting the Holy Spirit in our meetings. It's not good enough that we come into a meeting and we try to do everything intellectually. And our hearts removed of looking into the real things that we are struggling with. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't earn us righteousness. It doesn't earn us blessings from the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't bring us to a place of security, place of power, place of assurance that we are on the right track with Christ. So what we need to do is like to just spend a few minutes really wanting, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Perhaps your own thoughts are defeating you. That was what I went through the other day. So even our thoughts can defeat us, because that is not what Christ is thinking of us. I've redeemed you. I love you. You see, that is what he's saying. Just repent and receive. Unless you repent. Jesus reveals this to us. When I was trying to give you the title, I just randomly say repent and leave. And so when I was telling my friends at the office to write, repent and leave. And so they said, first they say repent and or perish. Yes. But what did the Lord say in Ezekiel 6:18? Repent and leave. Repent and leave. Jesus doesn't want us to perish. That is what he says. Repent and leave. Repent. To perish is our choice. To leave is Christ. And today he's inviting us, perhaps for the first time ever, to commit your life to Christ and to say, what I have been doing, I've been thinking my own thinking. Another guy, he was asked, why you don't go to church? He said, those who go to church, there are people who are working in the church. That was what he thought. That was his thoughts. Well, I used to go to church even when I was not working in the church. And you come to worship. You come to interact with Christ. You come to repent. You come to serve him. It is you. He has called you by your own name. And if you are not doing that, it is between you and him. And you need to repent. Repent and leave. What is the thing that you are taking home? I want to tell you that just the greatest things I want you to take home today is don't think your own things. Your own thoughts will defeat you. Surrender to Christ and take up all that he says about you, even about you, about life, about everything, because there is nothing that he hasn't touched. He has created us. He has created the whole universe. We are no better than anyone. We were the worst sinners, but Christ died on the cross for us. And all that he has done has given us access to his forgiveness, to the throne of grace. For those who will not come to him will perish. But repent and leave. I want to lead us in prayer. Let us spend a few moments, 2 minutes perhaps, this text is found nowhere in the synoptics, in the Gospels, because there are some parallels in certain passages. So all the writers of the Gospels, especially the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, sometimes they take up the same theme and they run it with small variations. But this is unique to Luke, so it's a rare text. And I have never preached from this text. And when I was growing up as a believer, it puzzled me, this text, so much, what it meant. And even most scholars, there's no much background to the Tower of Siloam, or even the Galileans, whose blood was mixed with the sacrifices. But what Jesus is saying to us today is inviting us to be always willing to repent of our sin. In our homes, in our relationships, with our friends, workplace, even in our own self, not to justify ourselves or even to blame ourselves, only to repent. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that you will give us grace to be able to repent. Lord, we know that we are always prone to justify ourselves. Even before you, the one who can see everything, who can hear even the whispering of our thoughts. So, Lord, this morning, I pray that you will teach us to put down Lord God, our own thoughts, Lord, to put them down, Lord, and to repent and turn away from these ways. For these are the ways of destructions. They don't lead to eternal life. So, Lord, please work by your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Help us to see our sins and how, Lord, they deserve punishment. But, Lord Jesus, we thank you that on the cross of Calvary, you gave up yourself so that we can be cleansed all the time, so that we can come into the throne of grace and pray and receive all the blessings you have, Lord, desired for us. For you want us only to repent and leave. You want us to repent so that we can leave. So, Lord, I pray you help us all, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.